Brought a bat in the cave.
Welcome back to the show. It's Road Dogg and Cassio, and you're listening to...
I'm Batman.
Oh, you didn't know? The first
one. It's me. It's television's Road Dogg. And you can trust me when I tell you, dog life insurance is the way to go.
What is going on, man? It's 2024, brother.
I have no idea who just texted me and said, is this your number? What? Is this your number? Yeah, I guess it is.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, this is why
things
we
ain't changed.
Zero awards in 2023.
Wait, have we not won anything?
No, not one damn thing.
Who won worst podcast?
That was, I don't know who that was. I was going to bury somebody and it was going to be unnecessary. So I decided to not do it.
Why? Why is it political for political reasons?
No, you changed me. You made up with CM Punk the other week.
I will be dang.
I'm not going to talk bad about anybody.
Okay. You know what? Kudos to you, bro. Cause that's
everybody
cool.
knows Chris Van Vliet is trash. Okay.
That's not true.
It's not true. He's
That's not true at all.
His job. Chris it's Van Vliet.
So somebody texted me like, hey, what, you want to do CVV? And I wasn't familiar at the time. I was like, I'm sorry. I don't know what that is. And they were like, and then I was like, oh, I know who that dude.
He's a legend, man.
I know he is now, but I didn't know how cool he was. And truth is, he is really cool. Super cool guy. And I'm planning on getting with him around Royal Rumble time, maybe, and sitting down with old CVV. It's me and CVV and agree, and one day soon we'll be a celebrity. Hit it, get it, get it. Ow, guitars and bum, bum, and his jungle band. Bum. Oh, this is all we can stand. Give him a hand, guitars and. You never heard that song by Ray Stevens?
No, but look forward next week. We have guitars and on the show. Adding to our
hey, I tell you what, I wish I could have Guitar Zan on the show. Well, he swings through the trees without a trapeze. He swings through the it's a good one. Listen to it. Ray
Stevens.
I don't
know. I know the squirrel got loose and somebody's dress came up.
The squirrel went berserk in somewhere in a church. And creepy little town in Pascagoula.
Yeah.
I don't know the stinking name of the superintendent. I'm Brian James. Uh-huh. And I think I've got new Ray Cripple Stevens.
Dog.
Yes,
New
sir.
New Year's resolution. Do you have one?
I'm going to try to exercise more, but I'm not because I've got fat in store. Anyway, I don't know. Probably I'm going to try to exercise more, but truth be told, I'm traveling a lot and chances are I'm walking more. That's what I'm going to say. Standing up more than
or
I used to.
Laying in the hotel room more.
Oh, man.
Getting room service more.
You know what? I don't get room service because hotels don't do that anymore. Like, I don't know what happened, but thank you, COVID and world government.
You get food delivered?
You have to.
Or do you just pick it up on the way back to the room?
Well, to me, like,
what's your move?
Once the show's over and everything, and the last match is out of the ring, and you shake hands and thank everybody, and blah blah blah, and now we go. I just want to get back to my room and put some sweatpants and shirt on. You know,
sure.
Take my biz cash off. Yes, come
Hello?
On in.
What's up? Is that
Jim?
Life?
Jim.
Robert.
Rip. Rip, you get back under the desk, you spun of a sitch.
Tessa?
Ray the Crippler Stevens, you get back under there. I call him all kind of names.
Lion?
I don't know. That was weird, but I loved it. Was it me?
I don't know what me. It was Dom, probably. No, it was producer Dom. No, that, it was Dom.
Oh, it was you.
In the
thank God.
With
because
mic,
I...
Dom.
Thank God. Lord have mercy, Dom.
See, award
Lord, Dom, Lord have mercy on your soul.
Let's get this cracking. Let's get meme
of
the week.
It's not that serious.
First meme of the year, too.
You know, my kids called my mom Mimi. Oh, you said meme. My bad.
Meme tier, of the week. Meme of the week. What do you got for us, Dom?
A meme of the week.
Me at the red light trying hardest to pretend I don't see.
You know, hey, you know what I do? And you can ask a friend of mine about this, and he got so mad. You can ask old Double J, Double Jote about this. I give him money. I give him all kinds of money.
Here's the deal. The bad people have ruined it.
I know. But you know what?
It used to be the jam. Reach out, give them some change, let them move on and help their wife out.
Give them a change.
Now you roll that window down, they're going to be like trying to sell you stuff and guilt tripping you.
Sometimes I want to buy those things, though. You know what I'm saying? What you got? What you got?
You ever,
is it hard or soft?
You ever had the guys that start washing your windshield for you at the red light?
Yeah,
that's a high deal.
Sometimes
seen them selling water in traffic.
Yeah, sometimes it's dirty.
You ever have the lady trying to sell you flowers? That's a good move too.
Yeah. Sometimes I need makeup flowers. You know what I mean? So these people are. I just give them money, but most of the time they do have a gun. But I, I give them, no. I don't care. It's money. I like money. Money's cool, but can't take it with you.
Dog, as we get into 2024, we ask everybody if you want to help out this podcast. First, thank you for listening.
Amen.
We ask that you like, subscribe, and turn on notifications. You can check out everything that we do and be on top of it, especially when we go live over at bagofjohnsons.com.
What?
We also ask you, wherever you consume this podcast, wherever that may be, we hope you would give us a rating. Every little bit helps, and you would be surprised how much your rating goes.
If you
and
give
so,
us a rating, it might give me a raise.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know that that's true, but
it
continue,
almost
please.
Rhymed, and it almost.
It was where I was going, and I effed it all up. I'm sorry.
But you can leave us a rating, and that brings us to our five-star review of the week.
Oh,
five-star review? Yes. Oh. From Old Man Mesa, Mountain Critters, Rushmore, five stars.
What?
Hear the wisdom of the third most marketable WWE superstar, probably ever, don't look it up, and the apex predator of morning radio, Gator and Tater are on Mount Rushmore twice from different angles.
You didn't know? It correlated with the Kurt angle because he said from different angles.
How about that?
So that's from above, so... It's the gospel.
It was Old Man Mesa. He is a wise
man. Old
Man
Mesa, who is, I don't know, he was the guy who had the Ten Commandments first, and then he sprained his ankle. So I'm not sure if that's accurate, but you heard it first here, folks. You heard the blasphemy. You heard the blasphemy first here.
Old Man Mesa.
Yeah, or he might have been
the
guy who founded
first
it. He might have been the guy who founded Arizona.
Little known story from Deuteronomy. Everyone knows that. Take a look in the good book today.
You got to get your read on.
Yeah, right after Zacchaeus was a wee little man.
Yeah, the wee little man was he.
Yes, we talked about Old Man Mesa tripping and falling and dropping the commandments.
Like I said, or he could have founded Arizona.
Either one,
he's
in Deuteronomy.
An important figure in history.
He is.
Yeah.
Or was almost.
I don't know if he duded his mommy. I don't know who we were talking about there. But I get it. Sometimes I crack you up with the stupidest stuff. I don't know if you just got the giggles or what.
It
pops me in my heart.
Hey, before we get started, we have a great topic today as we begin our new year.
We do.
We're going to talk about wrestling over the last 40 years. But before we get
Are
into
we?
That, I've been thinking about this over the holidays, and it kind of was on my soul. So I want to bring you in and get your take on it. You're very, you're a deep thinker these days.
I may cry.
Would you rather have...
it went the wrong way already. Oh, my word. I love you.
Would you rather have nipple-sized fingers or finger-sized nipples?
Nipple-sized fingers.
So all your fingers are the size of nipples.
I might have to go with finger size nipples.
Boy, those are long. Look.
I know, but think about how you cannot grab anything with them little bitty fingers.
Oh,
they would be tiny.
Oh, right, could you type fast?
I could wear a shirt, bro. I could wear a bra.
Well, they're gonna stick out. They're the size of fingers.
When it's cold.
Oh my gosh. You look like Madonna in her steel bra back in the day.
Well, I don't care. I can do whatever I want.
But I do think you got to go nipple size, finger size nipples.
Yeah.
Because you can hide it a little bit.
These are my finger size nipples.
Boy,
mind your business.
That first time you take your shirt off at the pool, though, man.
Yeah, but hey, I love how they run. If they're not erect, how they bounce when you run. They're like tassels.
You think they spit and you
figure out? Hey, you can do a three-way helicopter if you're butt naked. You know what I'm saying? Bad part is the nipples got me by 2 inches. Anyway.
Almost said the Y-axis and a rotor in the back.
I'm not sure what was in my axis, but.
If you tan them, they look like one of those ash snakes at fire at July 4th that you burn. You know? You know those ash snakes? You don't want to singe them. They'll look bad.
I had to stop listening to you so I could swallow.
Are you back?
I'm not mad at all. That was hilarious. I just had to swallow that. Oh, I know. I love those. They don't do anything, but they just burn
they
like a snake. Yeah. And I always like pinch the back of one of my grandkids' legs or somebody when it goes. Like, watch out. You know what I mean?
Because you think something's going to happen.
Because I'm an a-hole, yeah.
As a kid, you're like, they're going to trick me.
Oh, yeah.
They've added a pop at the end or something.
Something's
going to
happen.
Yeah, nothing happens.
I tell you what, though, for real, there's not a whole lot better than that grand finale at a big fireworks show.
Come
on, you know what I mean? Like, and it also almost sounds like some Bollywood stuff.
It sounded like a song.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Bollywood, boy. Bollywood. We love Bollywood, boys.
Sorry. What was that fireworks sound like again?
I don't even
what's
know.
What's the grand finale sound like again?
I can't do it no more.
You nailed it, by the way.
You nailed it, by the way.
You did.
See, you get it, though. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So, I can't duplicate that, but when it came out, and I'm pitch perfect, by the way, so when I do fireworks, it sounds exactly like it.
New Year's resolution, everybody quit recording them, though. They don't show up good on video, so stop.
No, there's
nobody's
no
ever seen your video went by. That was great.
Well, thank God they showed that because they don't have fireworks where I live. Anyway,
the fireworks
but that's
never
the thing.
Look good on
support
video.
Support your local fireworks display.
Yes.
Done at your local, what do they call cities? Your local
cities,
municipalities. Where they pop some fireworks off, probably.
Yeah.
And if you're from Chicago, you can just listen to the gunshots. Oh, sorry.
I want somebody to turn your fireworks deal into a gif. That's all I want.
That's a good deal.
You were nailing it.
Yeah,
all right.
That would be awesome. Do that, somebody. With more time than we have.
Beverage. All right, here we go.
You know, that doesn't have any caffeine. Never did.
Mm-mm.
Sprite.
Beverage.
So we did the meme of the week with Kurt Angle. We did the 5-star of the week with the angle of the dangle. And
now we're going to get into the topic.
The meat.
The meat
of the greet. Yep.
40 years of wrestling, so stay tuned.
I haven't been wrestling for this seven-hour podcast. Yeah, I haven't been wrestling for 40 years. I want to make that known right off the bat. But basically what this will be talking about is, and I haven't looked at this, seen it at all. That goes to my being ill-prepared. But it's basically a walk back about how I personally feel and what my opinion about some of the stuff that's wrestling and been done in wrestling and has changed wrestling and all that in the past 3 to 4 decades. I have been wrestling 3 decades now, but I'm not wrestling anymore, so I stopped counting.
Let's anyway, talk about that ever-changing landscape of professional wrestling.
Yeah, that's turned into
today
a sports
we want to sit under the learning tree, and you learned from one of the best, Bullet Bob Armstrong.
Yep.
You've mentioned it before in some of our past episodes, but just to talk about it again, tell me what were maybe some of the basics you learned from him that he stressed over and over again.
You know, first off, all this stuff's going to be just my opinion and my feelings and my personal experience. There's going to be a million different flavors and different ideas and stuff about pro wrestling, Sports Illustrated, Sports Entertainment. And so these are just my opinions. One thing my dad taught me, though, was he almost let me experience stuff and then would respond to me in a fatherly way more so than taught me about wrestling. His lessons were always more about life. And that has played into wrestling a great deal. But then when I would respond to something, and I'll give you an example here in a second, but when I would respond to something or say something to him, react to something that happened to me in my career at some point, and he would smarten me up. My dad didn't pipe my, didn't fill me full of pipe dreams and stuff like that. He was a very realistic person. And so one of the examples was I got mad cause they were going to make me lose on TV. And so I told him and I've told this story before, so it's not a secret, like, hey, I don't want to do a job. And I'll never forget. He said, you don't want to do a job. Well, you got a job, don't you? And it just him talking to me, and I look, what I can tell from the tone, I'm pretty good at reading the room, always have been, especially with him, because the room is very clear. So his tone changing when he said, you do it, they want you to do a job. Well, you got a job, don't you? And I just knew right then he meant, do what you got to do, dude. You know what I mean? Like what they're telling you. It's phony baloney wrestling. And back then, look, it was very important to me at the moment in my mind that I didn't lose this particular match. And it was a match that I've talked about before too, with Rob Van Dam and it was like on Shotgun or something, and I was just back as Real Double J, and I was floundering, and these guys came in and they were going to beat me, and they were from ECW, and I didn't know we had a deal with them. And it was a pivotal moment for me that I got all mad about, and I almost quit, you know what I mean? Like, it was a big deal. And my dad just put it in perspective and said, you got a job, don't you? And it let me know, like, But look, the time had already passed by then. I didn't know, so I ended up not having to do it because I fussed about it. But he told me, don't fuss about doing a job, because a job's not real. The job is real. The electric payment is real. The car note is real. The getting beat by somebody is not. And so don't wear that crap home, and don't wear it on your sleeve. And look, a lot of guys do, and I'm one of a lot of guys, you know what I mean? So you got to kind of get older to get a little wiser in that way. So yeah, he taught me some things that were, I don't know. Look, he told my brother Scott, you'll never be the world champion, but if you play your cards right, you can work in this as long as you want to in this industry. And he did that. You know what I mean? He did exactly that. And he was never world champion. But so he was always very pragmatic with us. And like, I don't even know if I used that word correctly in a sentence, but he was, I don't actually, but he was very practical when he told us, like, you know, this can be a good job, or you can, you know, let it kill you, you know? And so, but I don't know. I love my old man. I love thinking about him, love talking about him, but he taught me more about life than he did about wrestling.
Pragmatic, dealing with things sensibly and realistically in a way that is based on practical rather and theoretical considerations.
Oh my God.
You did it. You used it correctly. We might want to shut the pod down.
I did it. I did it. What's in the box? Sorry. Hey, watch two Brad Pitt movies on the flight home, just so everybody knows.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Nice. Pragmatic. The next t-shirt. It just says pragmatic. That's
what
all.
What if it's like Illmatic, but it's pragmatic?
It's kind of, what is Illmatic?
One of the greatest albums of all time, Beastie Boys.
Ill? I thought it was Licensed to Ill.
I mean, I said Beastie Boys. Nods. Illmatic.
Illmatic, got it. Never heard of it in my life.
God, what a faux pas I did. I did Licensed to Ill. I said it. I just set up my own thing, my own reference, and botched it.
I like the fact that you botched it, though, because I see the correlation and I understand the botch.
Makes me ill.
Well, it can make you ill all you want, but I get it. You know what you should do, though, is beat yourself up about it. Nas Jr. Slow and low, that is the tempo.
Who do you remember your dad telling you taught him? Did you hear him give credit to people?
No. Okay. He always gave credit to experience. And that was what he said. Like you and when it comes to that, experience in the industry doesn't mean I've had 100 matches. It means I've had 1,000 matches and in 1,000 different arenas with 1,000 different opponents. You know what I mean? And so it's also in that span of time to have all those 1,000 matches, you would have life experience gained all along. And so you would learn the backstage politics. Uh-oh. I lost you guys again. I'm having a FaceTime. Let me decline. Can you see me?
I can see you. Yep.
Okay, you guys, let's just continue on. I'm going to try to get...
You want to jump back in? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to try. Let's see what happens here.
If you need to exit out and come back in.
I'll be in there twice, yeah. I'll be in there twice. And it'll be... And I'll have to dump out one time. But so we were talking about my dad and him teaching me. Oh, I can hear me echoing. I can hear me echoing in your ears, and I sound like rear poots. Sorry.
Is that better?
Yes, that's better. Cool. Is it better for y'all? Is it okay?
You're normal. You've been normal.
Yeah, you sound good. You're normal for us.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. So, yeah, we'll just edit that part out and we'll go. So we're back from that beautiful episode of Hello, Charlie. Thanks for joining us, Casio Kid, a.k.a. Casio Kid. Boston Charlie, a.k.a. from Kansas City. Brian James, the name. That's right. Two first names. Here we go.
In three.
Oh.
All right, dog. You talked about your dad not really teaching you per se, as in they were taking lessons. Did he ever talk about who taught him in this, or did he? Well, how did he get his training? What did he say about how he learned?
So, truth be told, we never talked a lot about how he got trained and stuff because he kind of got trained the hard way and just thrown into some matches when he was very young, but he was strong. And so he held his own and he was good looking. And so they came to him and asked him, hey, are you willing to be a wrestler? Because of the bench press competition that he had won when he was a fireman, and some people saw him were looking for I guess prospects, you know what I mean? And the guy thought Dad was a big, good-looking dude with big arms and gave him the nickname Armstrong, and away he went. But, yeah, he didn't do a lot of training. He did some on-the-job training, and that's probably why he spoke about life experience being the best teacher. You know what I mean? And I think that's true in all walks of life is you go through some crap. Look, I love the fact that I got to go in WCW really quick, and then WWE is the WWE at the time is roadie. But then it all was too fast, and I had to go to Memphis and go to Germany and kind of learn how to wrestle. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know what I was doing. And to learn how to wrestle each night with different people. And it used to be very different back in the day. And there was a language barrier in Germany. And so it was much more of a bit of a struggle. And 20, 30 years before me, it was twice as much of a struggle. So I don't know. He was just a big, good looking dude. He was kind of the Bruno Sammartino of the South. And he was a big barrel chested guy that the people believed in. And
you think that, experience, yes, is a great teacher. Experience, yes, gives you that growth. But do you think at some point, hey, I'm going to need that training? AKA, you know, there's a lot of guys and gals now that try to make it in the business on the indies. Yeah. And then when they get signed, now we got to go to the performance center,
right,
and kind of hone everything in.
And truth be told, if everybody would not try to do what they see on TV and just try to learn how to work a little first, you know what I mean? And I think that's, look, my generation probably started it all where now everybody's just, oh, there's The Rock and Austin were over, I'll just do that. Those guys were over, we'll just do that. And it's, I don't know, you got to kind of learn how to work. And that's what I mean by experience is out in the crowd. And I'll tell a quick story that kind of goes to what I was talking about. Like Gunther and Miz had another real banger, of a match. And on Monday night, like it was awesome. On Monday night, whenever we taped this, it was a while back now. But what a great match! Miz came back and said, "Man, we didn't talk about anything. We just felt the crowd and went with it." And I thought, "Yeah, that's how you do it." You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But that's not what some people. It's foreign to some people. And look, you don't know what you don't know, right? Like I don't know Chinese arithmetic, but I can barely do English arithmetic. So it's, you don't know what you don't know. And so we hear stuff like that and think, oh yeah, that's how it's supposed to work. But he didn't think like that. He thought like he's also had matches where he called everything. You know what I mean? And so there's just a bit of a work, to me, the work comes in between the wrestling maneuvers. The wrestling maneuvers don't mean anything if you're not working in between on the emotions of the fans. And I can't articulate it. I don't know how to say it, but I know how to show it to you and go and watch, Ricky Morton selling, go watch, you know, people that evoke emotion, whether it's selling or their fire or whatever. Go watch a hot tag in one of my matches to Billy, you know what I mean? When we were baby faces, and you'll see what fire is and you'll see the evoking of emotion. And that's to me what the working part is. I can choreograph a big athletic spot if you want me to, but it's not my strong suit. I'd rather kick you in the gut and then yell at the crowd or you know what I mean? Get a rise out of them, feel where they're going, what they're buying, and then go from there. Go with my feeling. This is one time you act with your feelings and not your mind. You know what I mean?
All right. Well then let me get to this answer then. Let me get to,
I may be doing the old DC dip and twirl and avoiding the answer. And if I'm doing that,
there's no right answer or wrong answer. It's just, answer my question would be then, to play devil's advocate to that.
Yeah.
Why am I going to the performance center then? What are you going to teach me there? If all I really need is experience, what are we doing there? Why do I need this?
Well, because look, I think it's another experience, not only, and like I mentioned, not only in your life, but in your professional life. It's an experience. At the PC, they're going to train you how to eat right. They're going to train you how to train right. They're going to train you how to cut a promo, how to be a star. So it's just another part of your experience.
Yeah.
Honing, a shining of, if you will, a shining up of the character. Let's find the character. We're going to do all of that there. It's the making of WWE superstars at that place. And so you go there to be fine-tuned and learn a lot of stuff that even if you've been in the, and I think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn would attribute to this, is they learned a lot when they got there. They've been into the business 10, 12, 15 years. You know what I mean? So they, it's still a learning process. So look, if you're the biggest star in the world and we just see it in you, like this person's got to be on TV tomorrow, like you'll probably end up on TV tomorrow. But unless you're, 7 foot tall and can do Rey Mysterio stuff, you probably won't be on tomorrow. You're going to need a minute, dog.
What do you think has been you mentioned this about, hey, I see this on TV and now I want to be a wrestler, so I'll do that. What has been the biggest change you've seen in terms of the presentation of wrestling, starting with in-ring?
Look, I think it's the recognition of the television cameras. I think it's the recognition of incorporating the television cameras and the production truck into your actual physicality. And I think that's what... Look, I love it. And I've said this before, I love sitting in a hot seat, man, and shooting the show and seeing it and seeing different camera angles and different reactions and putting them all together is so much fun to me. I don't know what I'm doing still, but I love it. And it's the presentation athletically to the television show. Look, we all learned in the last 40, we all kind of learned it's not real, guys. It's all scripted and performing arts, and that's what it is. And so we also, that way we can go like, okay, so it's not real. We can play a little with characters now. Now we've got characters and people like, look, Seth Rollins don't walk around like he's doing, you know what I mean? With those glasses on and everything. Like I don't see him that like that backstage. That's not who he is, but it's a part of his character. And so that kind of stuff I see is, they always had that, but it was like the Chinese guy or the Japanese guy or the Russian guy was the bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, and literally 40 years ago, that was still very prevalent. You know what I mean? And the Russian guys, especially like Ivan Koloff was probably the champion 40 years ago. And, or at least in a prominent position as a heel. But I think it's not only culture and the state of the union, I guess you could say, changes wrestling too, and has changed wrestling too. And so that's changing with the times though, right? From a business standpoint, you have to do that. And so, yeah, I think I think it's the television show, man. How do you, it's how you present your wrestling. Think about it. And I'm talking about in my day, I was wrestling in a studio with 3 cameras. You know what I mean? In a studio with maybe 100 people in there, and one camera here and maybe a floor camera, but I don't know, this one turned around and shot the on cameras at the desk and everything. So I don't know. It's just, man, come so far as far as I guess television technology and production value.
Since you brought it up, when you broke in officially in the late 80s, early 90s, the way matches were put together with baby faces and heels, you think that's still the same nowadays, or is it kind of a blurred line?
So I think it's a blurred line, but I think that baby face, and look, this may be me and I may be naive, but I feel that people know a good guy from a bad guy. And I feel it's okay to represent each of those in a wrestling, setting, in a pro wrestling setting. So, what were we talking about?
Baby faces and heels.
Yeah, baby faces and heels. So I've always said this, like Austin was the one who came in and said, you don't have to be a good guy to be cheered. And he didn't say that. It just happened. You know what I mean? And so it changed the way baby faces and heels. It did blur that line a little bit. However, I think at people's core, they can recognize good from evil. You know what I mean? And I think they can anyway, for the most part. If you can't, I think you might be a sociopath. You might need to call somebody.
Do you think in matchmaking...
Call somebody. Go ahead.
Do you think in matchmaking nowadays, is it ever even said, Hey, who's the baby face and who the heel in this story for putting it together? Or does it just happen?
No. Yes, it is said. You know what I mean? And it is talked about. And it's like, well, and look, pitting two heels against each other. Who do you cheer for? Nobody.
Right.
And so that's difficult, right? Pitting two baby faces against each other. Who do you cheer for? Well, you cheer for the baby face that's more popular. Who do you do damage to? The one that's less popular that's probably going to lose. You know what I mean? I think you need a pro and antagonist to tell this story. However, I think with a evolving and growing feeling and acceptance of the sport side of entertainment, if you will, if that makes sense to you, the sport side of entertainment, competition is more acceptable. Baby faces can, and I'm all for this too, by the way, two baby faces having a hell of a match. Competition matters, and they go for it, and one of them wins, and they shake hands after, but the guy that lost ain't happy. So he shakes hands and shoves it away because screw that. I'm not happy. I lost. If it's done right with two right guys, you might not have killed the underneath baby face or the guy you wanted to get over, you know? And so We have a saying that we say a lot of, and it matters a great deal nowadays, especially. It's all in the execution, and that's, man. So I don't know if you saw this. It was a while back. You may not have seen this, but
Dove.
No.
Oh.
No. But have you ever seen a dove's breast? So crap, now you threw me off course. Oh, you might not have seen this, but it was an in-ring promo with Roman and Jimmy and Jay. No, not Jay. Jimmy and Solo, and Roman went to like put Solo over, but he was talking and Jimmy thought it was him the whole time. And so the nuances, the mannerisms that were put into that from Jimmy made the whole thing. And that's what I mean. It's all in the execution. Like if it's not executed correctly, the audience, the vision doesn't translate to the audience the way you really want it to. So you have a vision in your head, and when it's executed in a way, you go like, yes, that's how it should have been done. And anyway, it's all in the execution.
It's interesting bringing in that television element of being able to tell that story. I think back, shout out to Bruce and Conrad, but Bruce, when they tell the story on his podcast, Something to Wrestle With, about the superpowers, about Macho and Hogan, and they turn. And when you go back and listen to that, because as a kid, I'm just watching it, experiencing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they went back and broke it down, and they're talking about all the little, you know, when Macho gives him side eyes, when he hugs Elizabeth, and Macho kind of see, you don't realize as a kid what it's doing to your mind, but as you go, you go, oh, they were setting this up so long.
They've been setting this up for telling a little story. And it's just with nuance Easter eggs that tell the story. And look, fans are smart now, and so you got to really try to tell it brilliantly, or everybody goes, oh, we see that coming, you know. Right. And my take on that is like, Sasha Banks and Bayley were always going to turn on each other, and always not, and then they didn't, and then they were going to, and then they didn't. It's because people would get so like, we see this coming, and then we go like, okay, should we do, you know?
Right.
So you just, I don't know that you can draw the line so much anymore.
What do you think the biggest element is missing in professional wrestling in ring today?
Reality. To just suspend the people who already know it's fake, suspend their disbelief while you work. And look, I would argue, watch an AJ Styles match. I know we don't talk about the name a lot, but Benoit, watch Chris Benoit. Like his stuff, it was real. Like there was nothing he was doing that didn't look like it was real physical combat. And that's what's missing today. Not from everybody's work, but I think largely, it was, and look, my generation is probably to blame where we, you know what I mean? We started just hot-shotting everything in the Attitude Era. And so, but whatever, but that's, I don't know, man.
I don't even remember who it was. I watched a match the other day. It was not WWE. I don't remember now, but the guy's on the shoulder. It's a tag team match. They get him up on the shoulder. The guy's going to come clothesline him off the top rope.
Yeah.
But he's sitting up there and he's doing this like he's a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, does that when you're wobbly.
Would you be doing? All while not getting off the dude's shoulders.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But move?
You make time. So I'm glad you brought this up because this is exactly what I've been talking about with the work. And the work is the reality part that I'm talking about. Not how you take the bump, how you set up, how easy you go up for the bump, all that bull crap. It's how you look while trying to take the bump. You know what I mean? Like, I got to try to get him and his hair, and I'm going to hit him one time, and all of a sudden, here he comes. Whoa! And I'm working through all that. And that's disappeared.
Yeah.
It's much more of, oh, I'm on your shoulders, and we step right up. You jump off of there, and you by pissing a cup. And now we go over here, and I'm going to shoot you over there.
Yeah.
Duck the clothesline, or I almost clipped your hair. And whatever. You know what I mean? But it's I'm making light because everybody works real hard. But the truth of the matter is there's a lack of reality, and that's the art. That's the whole art of wrestling is the act of reality, the act of physical violence in a real way. Now, look, I realize, and I'm not an idiot. I know in a real fight, you don't shoot me off and I duck a clothesline and drop down and hip toss and clothesline. I'm just saying, in between those moves, I had a conversation the other day with a young talent and I said, sell where you get hit. He bent over for a back drop. He got kicked in the shoulder where everybody does. And instead where everybody does, if the opponent's doing it correctly, they hit him in the chest or in the shoulder, not in the face. He popped up selling his nose. You know what I mean? And I just said, don't do that. I get why you did it. And I understand the thinking, but that's not where he hit you. You know what I mean? And you can create the same space both in time and distance if you sell your shoulder where he hit you. You know what I mean? Like you pop up, spin in a circle, back for the next thing, whatever you need to do. But don't sell somewhere that he didn't hit you because that is a disconnect for audiences who may not can articulate it, but, oh, well, that's fake because he kicked him over there. You know what I mean? And so anytime I can make them forget it's not real, man, I shoot for that my whole match. And that's, I want people, and look, don't go back and watch my crap because I was an idiot and I was on drugs and I did it all wrong. I'm talking about from now, from my 30 years of experience, how I would do it if I had it to do over again and I was sober and more athletic and in better shape and better looking.
Speaking of in-ring, everyone always talks about slow down, work holds. Why is that important?
Because that's time for the emotion. That's when the emotion gets to interact. And that's why it's almost like, hey, I literally watch a match nowadays and just think, I dare somebody to get them in a wrestling hold. And even if it's to do nothing, it's doing something. You know what I'm saying? Even if I get you at a rear chin lock and we go all the way down, and I've told this story before and I'll tell it again, because I just had a long conversation with one of the Usos who said one of their markout moments was beating me and Billy for the tag titles in Chicago. And I thought, that's really cool, man. That's really cool for me to be a part, because I think him and his brother are one of the greatest tag teams in the history of WWE, and their lineage goes back to their grandfathers being the greatest tag team. And like, I'm a mark for them. You know what I mean? So it was cool to hear that. I was in the ring with, it was his brother that I was in the ring with, had him in a rear chin lock in that match. And I said, go all the way down. And so we laid all the way down on the ground. And he said, dog, I feel like we should be doing something. And I said, we are doing something. And he said, what? I said, well, I'm breathing and we're giving these people a chance to catch their breath. And right as I was saying that, somebody started going, And I said, all right, so here we go. So start moving a little bit. Start giving me something. And he started moving, and I started fighting with him. And all of a sudden, we started coming, and that clap turned to that clap, and four claps and eight claps. And all of a sudden, we got him. And we started coming up, and I pulled his hair back down, and we were right back down. And I said, okay, now let's just sit here again, because it'll start again here in a little. It'll take a little longer this time, but, well, let's just breathe. And we were doing nothing, but it was to elicit something. You know what I mean? It was to get these people to, let's get them involved. Even if they're, it's by, if they know it's happening and it's by design and they don't even know they're getting caught up in it. I'm selling, if I'm in a rear chin and I'm pointing to this person right here, come on. Come on, you, right there, you. And then that dude starts clapping. And like, oh, come on, you. Clap. I start working. And the guy, now he's fighting to hold on. You know what I mean? And for one thing, the hold has to look like he's really holding me or I'm really holding him. Or else none of this matters anyway. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm talking about is, man, think about it from a reality standpoint and go at it like that, knowing you're going to get shot off the ropes and drop kicked every now and then.
Your brother Brad was almost revolutionary in the 90s, and not to discredit anybody else in your family, but he pioneered a style early on combining high flying and still doing mat wrestling as well. Who would you compare Brad Armstrong to today? Or who would, I guess I would say, who's today would be like a Brad Armstrong?
Yeah. I don't know if people are going to hate this or not, but maybe like Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
And I say that not because he was a shoot wrestler, but Brad could wrestle you. And he learned how to do that being trained and in Japan when he was young. Oh, yeah. Dom said I mentioned Cameron Grimes, too. Yeah, Cameron Grimes, because he can wrestle. He can wrestle any style. But that's what Brad, to me, learned a lot of that stuff in Japan. He was such a quick learn and a quick study. He knew the basics and then went to Japan early on. And I think he learned a lot over there, man, because he could do it all. You know what I mean? Like he could, if you got on in a wrestling thing and put him in a hold, he could get out of it and reverse it, whatever. I could never do any of that. You know what I mean? Like working with Regal and them, they'd put stuff on me and all of a sudden put themselves in something and I'd be in charge and going like, oh, what am I doing here? I'm in charge now. Brad just knew how to adapt and work every style. And was very athletically gifted. Like he could do it all. I don't know, man. I like a good, Austin Theory. I just don't know if he's a good grappler or not. But he's a guy that reminds me of a young Brad Armstrong, just can go and very student of the game, wants to be better, wants to impress. But Brad didn't work to impress. He just worked to do as best as he could, and it was impressive. You know what I mean?
When you see the big meaty dudes out there tearing it up, how's the big man changed from when you were there to now?
Bro, the big man can fly now. You know what I mean? The big man can, the big man's finish is a splash off the top. The big man's, you know what I mean? Like it's a different game. And I'll even argue we have a different giant than we had, 4 decades ago. Cause look at the evolution of Andre into the evolution of Paul White. And look, I know they had another giant here or there and everywhere, but truth be told, it was Andre, Paul White, and Is there another one? And I'm literally drawing a blank here, but is there any other?
Well, the new ones are almost, but
And almost is even an evolution of Paul White, because I agree just in size, and I'm sorry I forgot him, because I actually agree in size, but more athletic than Paul White, I would argue, and I'm sure Show will be happy to hear that, but I think almost is, and so it's like we got holy mackerel. Big Show was a lot more athletic and a lot more, gifted as far as being able to move and being a giant than Andre was. And then you got Omos now, who's more so than Big Show. So, and I still think we ain't seen the last of or the the best of Omos. Like he's, man, he works a lot of live events and he's getting better and he's impressive.
Well, let's talk about a big man that might have changed the game, because when I know what he turned into and the style he was, but when he was young and burst on, talk about how Undertaker changed the view on big men.
Holy mackerel. Well, I mean, I think it goes back to athleticism, but
incredible.
I think his character changed the game as much as he did on big man stuff, because really, like, I look, everybody's got big man stuff, but there's a different style, and I don't know it very well, of giant stuff and big man stuff. You know what I mean? Like big men ain't all putting two people in the corner and squishing them with their butt. You know what I mean? Like that's giant stuff we do, you know, that's been sent down from generations before us.
Is that fireworks? But,
I think it was. I've been watching a lot of Vikings lately. Did you just snort?
Yeah, I
love it.
I need a CPAP. It's a sign of a health problem.
Oh, God. Oh, I love us. I don't know if anybody else does, but
talking about Taker changing the character.
Yeah. The characters, his character, like, holy mackerel. How many is 30 of those 40 years we're talking about?
Incredible.
He's been around and doing it. And look, I think his work has been both methodical, but you've seen him walk the ropes. You've seen him fly. But he also brought you great gaga with the getting on the knee and the hand and the spotlight and the urn and the Paul Bear. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. The character to me set the pace for a different time in pro wrestling. And maybe that was the birth of sports entertainment, was the Undertaker. You know what I mean? His character and his rise. Cause it was special, man. He's a special dude, and his character.
And he adapted over the decades.
And, to everything. That's the thing, is he could work with anybody too. You might not have seen, and you even saw him do some big dives over the top and stuff. So not too many successful catches on those dives, if I remember. I'm sure Mark was thankful for that. But he changed the game. Not just in the ring, you know what I mean? Like, which I think is, I know there's been an evolution in wrestling and how it all works and all that, but I think the bigger thing is, and what we talked about at the beginning, is the television aspect and the presentation of it all now. And it's all very, it's presented very well if you watch USA or Fox. I'll just leave that there.
Let's get into something you are very familiar with, tag team wrestling.
Oh, I thought you were going to say herpes. You were going to let the cat out of the bag. Tag team wrestling. I do love a good tag team match.
The last 40 years in wrestling, tag team wrestling has changed.
Dramatically.
I mean, dramatically.
Yeah.
From Ricky Morton's hot tags, to double team moves, heat segments, all that. Let me ask you this.
Yep.
Do you think tag team wrestling is at its best moment, or was it better in the past? There's been some hot tag team moments in the past.
So, yeah, it's probably not as hot as it's been right now. But I do say on our side of the street, Damian Priest and Finn Balor and Senior Money in the Bank, like having the unified tag team championships, that's pretty strong. So they're putting, and look, they defend those titles too. So I don't know. It's strong right now, but I feel like the divisions have been stronger in the past. There was more emphasis put on them maybe in the past. I will say that.
But do you think as a style and presentation wise, do you think it's as good as ever?
Well, you just have to judge for yourself. Do you like bookends? Do you like the Ricky and Robert? Do you like the Rockers? Do you like the guys that match and that do everything together? Or do you like, you know what I mean? So it's all actually flavor of the week for people, which whoever they like. But it's not flavor of the week. I'll take that back. It's a team that gets over. You know what I mean? And it may be two guys that were put together, and I only use, like I said, my own experience. Is me and Billy were two singles wrestlers who were put together to form a pretty successful tag team in this industry, and we were two singles wrestlers all the way through. Like, we very seldom did stuff together. You know what I mean? Like, every now and then we'd spike pile drive somebody. It was only because Billy was stronger than I was, and I wanted to be involved. So I'd go, hey, let me jump off the second rope, and you know what I mean? and so... It's all about what you like. And look, what I'm saying about in the past is maybe, just maybe, there was more emphasis and more choices on tag teams. There were more tag teams, I guess. Now, you know, you got three or four tag teams between the two shows that are kind of dominant, and that's because they're kind of dominant. You know what I mean? And I don't know. You just don't have the choice you used to, I guess.
As far as overall, wrestlers have gotten more athletic. As you said, your performance center, you're teaching them how to train, teaching them what to eat, teaching them how to get their bodies in the best shape. Yeah. So just technology's better. I mean, everything
gears better.
Them towards being more athletic. Yeah. Is that a good or a bad thing for wrestling?
Well, look, I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing to speak of for humans. At least some of us are getting in shape and are athletic. You know what I mean? So because I think it's the evolution of sport too. Like, look, how many people take jujitsu now? How many people take wrestling classes and do all this in physical combat training? And even if they're not a violent person, they may take that for self-defense, for whatever, for how they work out. And so I think the evolution of combat fighting has evolved. Remember the Iceman that used to knock everybody out?
Oh, sure.
Like, he wouldn't last a minute right now. You know what I mean? Like, not only is he old, but I mean, even back in his day, the evolution of the fight is different. You know what I mean?
It's more mixed martial arts.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what we've implemented into, I think, I've never done that, but some people have implemented that into their performance. And I think it adds to the legitimacy, but I think what you have to do is then commit to that legitimacy and learn to work in between that cool stuff too. But again, that's the opinion of an old crab apple.
Let's get another opinion from an old crab apple. Are matches better today than they were 30, 40 years ago?
So 40 years ago, no. And I think because of the fact that people know it's not real. I think 40 years ago, people were still wondering. Some people knew it was real, but some people really believed. So I think there are probably matches in many a territory that people still talk about today that meant a lot more than the stuff they're seeing now. But I don't know. I don't know because I speaking from my own point of reference, there could be a 13-year-old out there that just saw Santos Escobar beat Bobby Lashley, you know what I mean? Whatever. And think that's the match that's changed my life. You know what I mean? I saw him cheat and win, and I've decided I'm going to cheat to get to the top. Or I saw him do that and I'm decided I'm not going to do that or whatever, you know what I mean? But so it's all about your perspective and your perception and where you're at in your life. And you know what I mean? There's a lot of intricacies that would go into answering that. However, there are huge WrestleMania matches and moments that I think like, oh God, whenever Randy Orton wrestled Seth Rollins and he went to curb stomp Randy and Randy popped him up higher and hit him with an RKO out of it. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Like, I thought that was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You know what I mean? And it still might be to this day. Like, it was just, for one thing, I didn't know it was coming. So it was like, oh, they're going to kick out of the curb stomp because I knew Randy was going over. It was like, oh, no. Yeah, I popped anyway.
What?
Mark.
Since we're here, you mentioned numerous times on this show.
Yeah.
And maybe correct my wording. Randy Orton is the best television wrestler we've ever had. Is that your quote?
Yeah, 100%.
What do you mean by that for people that hear that?
He knows how to play every camera. He knows how to play the crowd. He knows how to wait for the music to be just right to go. He he gets every aspect of having a match on television. Watch how slow and methodical every move he makes is. He's perfect. Like, I don't know. Maybe I got a thing for him. I'm not sure. His thighs are huge right
don't
now.
Don't think you're the only one.
I want to take a bite of his top left ab. It looks like
that one specifically.
Yeah, because it looks like Hershey bar. It looks like he has like six Hershey bars. But I've eaten the corners off of them. You know what I mean?
Who's the best wrestler you've ever been in the ring with?
Dang.
Just wrestler.
I've been in there with a bunch of good ones, man. So I'm probably going to overlook somebody and offend somebody and what's new.
Give me three.
Well, Kurt Angle comes to mind just because he was a machine of memory and of physicality. Just impressed me. Impressed me how he had a match with me. And my lungs weren't a part of it. You know what I mean? Like he literally drugged me through, like a longer match on TNA that I wasn't, I was half unconscious for half of it because I couldn't breathe. You know what I mean? So, I was just that blown up and he was just putting me in places and talking to me and keeping me there. And it super impressed me. It landed on me like, he's a machine. I get it. I understand. You know what I mean? All the hype. I understand every bit of it. I knew he could beat me up when the third day time we ever met and he took me down on the concrete. Like, okay, he can beat me up. So he can beat me up whenever he wants to. I get that. But then I wrestled him like later on in both our times too. And it was a lesson learning moment, a humbling experience. But as far as like, I mean, Benoit was really good in there. Benoit was good. Everything looked real. Everything felt real, but not like he really kicked me in the gut as hard as he could. But he kicked me in the gut. It looked like he would kick me as hard as he could, but he didn't. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like everything he did made...
And it helps you react to getting hit that way.
If you don't, I can't react because I don't know how to. Yeah. Because you didn't do anything. So what am I supposed to react to? You know what I mean? Like, so you got to give me something. Give me something to believe in. You got to give me something to sell. You know what I mean? LMAO, dog. LMAO.
Most entertaining wrestler you've ever been in the ring with.
LMAO. When I
worked
with
LMAO.
He's
very good. He's good. Everybody talks about him all the time.
In the Philippines. Yeah. Well, you know who it was? Was just B.B. Brown from Memphis.
It was LeMayo.
Yeah. So I say that again, the Filipino luchador.
Most entertaining wrestler you've been in the ring with.
Oh. So I've never been in the ring with this guy, but, well, so two guys I'm going to name.
Okay.
One is Grado.
Okay.
Do you know who Grado is?
A British fellow.
British fellow.
Very good. Very funny.
Hey, hairy ass. He is hilarious. He is, to me, to watch him work, to see his entrance, if you watch all that and you don't, like, it doesn't tickle your fancy, then our fancies are different. You know what I mean? You got a different kind of
I've
fancy.
I've seen it. They are. our fancies are different, my friend.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
You don't like him?
No. I mean, mine and I've seen your fancy.
And it is different. Mine is shorter. But
I love Grado. I'm saying our fancies were different.
Fancies are different. Yeah. Right. Blue Chew was last month. Dom thought he had a hairy arse for real. No, I was trying to, but I changed it into hill.
Oh, I heard hill.
Yeah, but then you heard Hill.
And I thought, wow, we're getting a deep scoop on him.
No. Never seen his arse.
Okay.
But have seen him wrestle, think he's hilarious. The other guy is, man, I don't know how you keep Mankind out of this conversation with all the characters and all the diversatility. But I'm going to say, for me personally, I loved Santino Marella.
Yeah.
And look, this is, you're talking about, to me, entertaining is, I don't need you to wrestle good. I don't even need you to wrestle well.
Everybody's going to have a different definition of it.
Yeah. I don't need good wrestling, but I actually think all of those people I mentioned can actually work too. So it doesn't affect me any. I mean, some people will go, oh, Grado's work rate isn't exactly 5 stars. And then I'll say, well, whoa, you know, nobody wants a train with square wheels. And then I would say, Hill hairy ass. Sorry, we've Philippine luchador. Just put up a shot of the Philippine luchador. He's choking to death. Sorry.
I wish I could get that accent that you just used on a t-shirt and it just said, hey, well, the train with square wheel.
Don't you remember that line from the, I think it was Island of the Misfit Toys, you know? Nobody wants a Charlie in the box. Everybody wants a Jack in the box. Nobody wants a train with square. Anyway, I love that part.
I didn't know you had that in you.
What were the other day we were... anyway,
it's almost cowardly line. But
I,
you nailed the voice, though. You nailed it.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Are we talking about wrestling still?
Yeah, I think so. If you could compare yourself to someone you've seen wrestle in any company in the last few years, who would it be?
Oh, in the last few years.
Yeah. Who's a recent wrestler you would go, that they got a little road dog in them?
People are going to crap all over me for this, but like Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
I just feel like he's a little dirty dog. He's a little white trash. He's a little collar up on his blue jean jacket. Suck it, dog, if you don't like it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think he could be working at the gas station and you go, fill her up, sir. Or he could be the headliner of the Kurakan in Tokyo, Japan. I just made that up, too. I don't know if that's a real thing. But I feel like... that was the road dog. You could see him working at the gas station or wrestling, whatever. And he's kind of cool there, cool there. It was a trailer park gangster, dog. TPG.
Who would be the person you'd want to have another match with if you could?
My brother, Brad.
There we go.
Yeah, I'd like to work. I'd like to, but I not now.
Against or with?
No, against.
Oh, wow.
I want to feel him. I want to feel him. I want to feel him in there because I never got the chance to feel him. I worked with my brother Scott. I worked with my brother Steve. I worked with my dad, but I never worked with Brad. But I'd also love to. And look, this is also when I'm in the attitude, maybe 97. You know what I mean? I'd love to. I'm 97. Maybe he's 97. He was probably still 10 times better than me. But I would love to feel that. Also, Kurt Hennig is some from the past. Barry Windham. I see guys today, and I don't know who I would like to have a match with. Probably be a tag match with somebody. You know what I mean? On the real,
like
Usos or the Bucks. Somebody like when we were in our day, and they're in their day. Like somebody.
See how y'all can go after it.
Yeah, and just see what happens if we have chemistry with those guys, with people. You know what I mean? Because that's the cooler part to me is, oh, yeah, I can have a wrestling match with anybody, but can I have a good one? You know what I mean? And can I be a part of that, or am I a deterrent? Because that's when you've got to be self-aware and work to your strengths and not to your weaknesses.
Thinking about the business of sports entertainment and how it has came along in the last 40 years, talk about the aspect of the business side. One, you were talking about, hey, matches might be better 40 years ago. They were doing matches, but also you're in a spot now where you don't have the greatest matches of all time, but you might be selling 100 t-shirts a night, which is changing your business and your brand and everything. Yeah.
Correctamundo.
Talk about how much that has changed sports entertainment as well.
So, I think it has changed, but I think that's kind of always been the name of the game was Babyface selling merch, selling gimmicks, selling, for as far as I can remember, babyfaces were at the gimmick table signing autographs and selling pictures and stuff. So it's kind of always been the name of the game, and it's the carny side of it. You know what I mean? That's the separation. That used to be the carny side of it. You set up a table. You set up, you go to the Walmart, agree to this guy. This guy agrees to let you sit there for the show before the show tonight because he knows who you are or whatever. And you sit there and you make $50 because you sold a few pictures during the day. But so nowadays, we got stinking fanatics selling our gear, selling our merch, selling our titles, our replica titles. I mean, it's not even the same game anymore. Right. You know what I mean? It didn't change the game. It's a new game. It's a different kind of game. It's a different world. And so, like to me, it is the sign of growth. And I said this earlier, but to know that we don't sell our own merch anymore. Good Lord. Like, you got it going on when you ain't got to do that no more. They do that for us.
We'll
you know what I mean?
Take our cut and y'all deal with it.
Yes, and y'all handle it. And we know you guys handle it super duper professionally because of your body of work. So, yeah, I mean, Fanatics is a huge company. And now that we use them to sell our gimmicks, like, yeah, that's a little bit different than the Bullet Bob and Brad at the gimmick table. You know what I mean?
And then the cool part, you know, I saw Matt Cardona saying the other day that he's made more than he ever did in WWE and doing it on his own in his own way. And, you know, doing the pods and doing his own shows and selling his own stuff. And isn't that the cool way of the business as well? Is there's not really a one way to do it.
No. There's just
make your own way. Make your way.
And nobody knows unless you're a pop. Look, Matt was a pioneer, dude. I mean, and I've been a big fan of Matt's for a long time, and I say it to him. I've jabbed at him on Twitter, just making jokes. But Zack Ryder was over. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Zack Ryder, and if you'll remember during my time, I've said it before because I'm proud of it. I love the shot of him standing on top of that ladder at WrestleMania holding the Intercontinental Championship. That's my Zack Ryder. And he said, Zack Ryder's dead on Twitter. And I said, well, Zack Ryder don't have or Matt Cardona don't have a ladder. You know what I mean? And so I'm just messing with him. But that dude did it on his own. You know what I mean? He did. And look, LA Knight's kind of doing the same thing now, but it's not on his own. It's with the people. It's organic and it's just happening. But you run with that. And we've learned from our past mistakes and are doing just that. So yeah, the whole game has changed as far as marketability, merchandise. This company makes more money now than it's ever made in the history. And so I may have misspoke when I said matches used to be better back then. I used to look at them differently back then because I was younger and more naive and not as, you know what I mean? So I remember matches that meant a lot to me that people probably didn't give a crap about, you know what I mean? And so that's all about perception. Business is a booming and I mean, kudos to the talent, dude. You know, I've said it before, time, talent, and team. You got to run with it when it all lines up. And right now it's all lined up.
How is the narrative that people are more unsafe today in the ring compared to how receipts used to be, quote unquote, back in the day?
Well, I mean, I don't think people are less safe in the ring today. I think we talked about it earlier. They're more athletic. They do more crazy stuff than, man, go back and watch Bruno's match with somebody and Ivan Koloff in the Garden or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they ain't doing no Hurricane Rana off the top rope or a Canadian Destroyer or a reverse Rana into a whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I've just heard people saying that crap. But they didn't do that. So the evolution in the athleticism has brought on more injuries. And people go, well, the schedule. Well, the schedule, look, if you tell me I have a live event match and I have a live event street fight, that just lets me know I can use a table at the finish. I don't have to fight out there if I don't want to. I don't have to fight over there if I don't want to. You have to hit me with a chair if you don't want to. Pull the chair out. I'll take it away from you. We'll go over here and forget about the chair. Do that. You know what I mean? So I'm in control of how in harm's way I put my body. And so you don't have to work at that rate of speed. We used to say, Yeah, that's our Mania match. Well, that's my Mania. I'll do that at Mania. You'd save crap for Mania. Oh, we'll do that double so-and-so at Mania. Now it's, we got to do it on main event. You know what I mean? We got to do it on the house show. Like, no, you don't have to, bro. I appreciate you trying to show me your stuff, but there's a way around it, you know, and do your stuff on TV only. Do your stuff on pay-per-view only. Excuse me, PLE only. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. But again, athleticism has raised the injury rate.
There's also everything is recorded now. We didn't see all the botches or injuries, if you will, because not every one of them were recorded. We're recorded and shown over and over, dissected, slowed down, broke
down. And also,
down.
People used to just drink and tape it up. You know what I mean? And that's 100% a fact. Because I came from that era, like on the verge of that era. That's why I kind of brought that mentality into.
Let's talk about receipts. We mentioned it. How has that changed in 40 years? You've seen it up close and personal, and you see what they go through now.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
It hasn't. Yes. Yes, it's still a thing. It hasn't changed a bit. And it's just nature of the beast. Dude, if me and you are rocking and rolling, going in the match, and all of a sudden you kick me in the head so hard I can't see straight, chances are I'm going to hit you hard in a minute. You know what I mean? Right. Like I'm not okay with that. However, if you come to cover me right then and go, oh my God, I'm sorry. I might not hit you really hard in a minute. But, you know, yeah, a receipt is a receipt. Like it ain't ballet. And sometimes you get hit hard and you better start apologizing or I'm going to hit you back really hard here in a minute. And that goes to the talent too. Sometimes the person ain't got it in them to hit them back hard. They just go like, oh, that was okay. Thank you. And I go, yeah, that ain't me. I'd have tatered that son of a, we'd been either talking or fighting back here. Man, I saw the other day, Shotzi Blackheart put a daggum box on top of EO Sky's head. And then a girl picked EO Sky up on her shoulders and Shotzi drop kicked her off the top rope. I swear I thought it knocked her head off. Like I thought it was from the movie Seven. And I said, what's in the box? And her head was in the box. You probably missed that, but it was on during the holiday.
EO Sky was in. She's insane.
Yeah, she is insane.
Well, she did the spot where she put the trash can.
Trash can. Her. Yeah.
C3 EO.
So, dude. Anyway, my point is, if I was EO, and I don't know that she did, I don't remember, but I'd have said, "Hey, mother flipper, you don't have to kick me in the goddamn face so hard."
Yeah, I'd like to have it attached to do
one
of these.
Yeah, and dang, come on now.
Who exchanged the most receipts with you? Whether giving or receiving?
Bradshaw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's how I know I'm half tough, half stupid. You know what I mean? It's just because I'm still here, and he is too, so I ain't that tough either, I guess.
Last question on this. What's something you wish everyone would go back to doing, or you think we are past that point?
So I feel like this question was pointed at getting color, industry might call it blading, or, I don't know. I don't know what it's called.
I say go back to doing. So you say maybe we're too far.
I say don't go back to doing. I say we've evolved. Okay. Beyond that, look, it's man, it's so unclean. It can't be any more unclean than just blood and blood. And it's just not, look, there's enough accidents that happen to where you don't, I just don't feel like it's needed. You know what I mean? I feel like it's outside the, I don't know how to say it, the status quo for the culture. Like if I'm a father of daughters and we're watching wrestling and that comes on, we're turning the channel. And if I'm a father of boys, I might be turning it too. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I don't know. That's maybe me being sexist, and I apologize if that came off that way. But I just don't think I would watch that. Now, would I watch the, I get it. It's just as physical and in quotes, violent, you know, a curb stomp and Randy Orton punting people and all this stuff. I get it. is aggressive. I'll use that word because I like it better, because it's not real violence. It's performed. It's not real. So the other thing makes it look like gore and violence and in an ugly way. And so I don't know. I feel like we've evolved past that.
All right, dog. This is
that's probably unpopular too on
these
here.
These are opinions.
Yeah, but that's. I just feel like I feel like it's the one. It's not the one thing. There's been a million things. It's one of the million things I've come to agree with Vince on. Like it's the pop culture, whatever. Like, look, there's a reason. The other place ain't doing no numbers. Like they show this kind of stuff and they do that kind of stuff. And it's just not, it can't be popular, for the mass population. I think it has to be, this is the wrong, verbiage, but it has to be dumbed down a little. It has to be, sanitized a little for mass consumption. And if you want to do big business, you want mass consumption, so you sacrifice a few things, and I feel like that's one of the things you sacrifice. And that's just how I feel, man.
Well, look, we are going to be exploring a lot more of your thoughts on professional wrestling and your perspective year long, man.
Yeah, I actually want to say something for a second, too. Like, we kind of threw this together at the last minute, but I felt like this is very philosophical conversations about wrestling. Now, having said that, is an oxymoron, I think, philosophical and wrestling. however, but it is. It's just my take on my 30 years experience. And we do have, that's what I wanted to say that for, is I love this topic. I think philosophy of wrestling is funner to talk about than wrestling. It's the actual wrestling. Cause it's easier, by the way. Cause I can be a dream lover, so I don't have to dream alone. Also, we're going to talk about some topics coming up, like how to be a baby face. And look, again, I don't know how to be a baby face, but I'll try to talk you through it. If some questions that people have or whatever, and I'll tell you my take on it, how to be a heel. Same thing. You know what I mean? I'll tell you my take on stuff. And so I think it's very cool that we're getting into some of my philosophical thoughts about pro wrestling, because that really is opinion based. And you can't get mad at me if you disagree.
Gotta get to know you, dog.
I guess you can.
Well, you're still in the business after this time, so you're doing something right. Somebody appreciates at least some of your philosophy along the way.
Yeah. And look, still climbing the ladder, so to speak, and still some rungs to go, hopefully. And so I feel like it's worth something. My wisdom. My knowledge.
All I know is you are at the highest position in the wrestling business you've ever been at, and wrestling is the biggest it's ever been. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I heard you say that, and I wish that we could replay it really quickly again on a loop.
Those are 2 points that exist at the same time.
Those 2 points exist at the same time.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, dog, we got to get to some of our old favorites. Don't forget, if you'd like to hear us talk about your business, and your business especially targets 25 to 50-year-old men, no better place to advertise than right here with us on You Didn't Know. You've heard us do ads for some of the same companies for years. Why is that? Because it works with our super targeted audience. There's very little waste. Go to advertisewithdog.com and find out more about how you can advertise. How about the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Brian R.D. James, could talk about your product, your event, whatever it may be.
Whatever. Your bar mitzvah.
We'll shill anything.
Quinceañera. And go to Advertise with Dog. That's advertisewithdogg.com. Tell us what it is, and I'll promote your biz. You feel me, dog? Come on.
All right, dog. We have got to get to a couple of our segments before we get out of here. And first,
I don't know what those are.
What do you mean?
I'm terrified right now.
It's Top Dog.
Oh! You can keep the stool sample.
Top Dog, we give you 3 names. You tell us, are you a better sports entertainer than
sports entertainer? I forgot we did this.
Yeah.
I thought how about this? It was my New Year's resolution that we wouldn't do this one anymore.
You said exercise more.
Oh, crap. You're right.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Well, don't.
All right, here we go. First up, are you a better sports entertainer than Dean Malenko.
Oh, yes. But not a better wrestler. Not even in the same category.
That's not even the question.
I know it was not. I'm just making a statement. I answered the question quickly and confidently. However, I wanted to state that as far as a pro wrestler, I'll just say that, he is head and shoulders above me on my best day.
Here's what I've heard. I've strangely never met Mr. Malenko in the business.
Really?
I've heard that as far as a character guy, on-air persona versus the guy he is backstage, he is one of the most opposite there is.
Yes. He is hilarious.
Yeah, that's
dude,
what I've heard.
Him and my brother Brad, Hill, hilarious. It was incredible to be around those two, and they were friends. And so there was he traveled in Japan with him and Eddie and Benoit. And so Scotty and Brad and Steve knew them all really well. And they hung out together. And so, it was a really funny moment when Brad and Dean Malenko were together anytime they were together.
All right. Are you a better sports entertainer than Johnny Valentine?
Oh,
woo, look at that.
You know what? This is when sports entertainment was sports entertainment. Johnny Valentine. No. I'm going to say no.
Really?
Well, hey, look, we're still talking about Johnny Valentine. When was the last time he worked? So I'm just saying.
We're still talking about you.
Yeah, but that's because I'm on my own podcast. Like, I promise nobody else. Nobody else is talking about us.
Well, when you turn into the Johnny Valentine podcast, let me know.
So, I don't know. Look, he was very influential in the history of wrestling, yes. I feel like. And yes, I wasn't. And so I feel like the answer has to be no.
All right, last but not least. Here we go. Here come the keyboards.
Oh, God.
Are you a better sports entertainer than MJF? Just say it.
Oof. So the fact that I've taken this long should make everybody mad. Are they pissed, you think, by now? I don't know, dude. He's great. Like, he's a really great promo. He's a really great, I mean, he's not a great wrestler, but in my mind, but I wasn't even a good one, so I don't compare that to.
You have the out that his career's not over now. So he's got time to pass you if you're ahead of him now.
You want me to say I'm better, don't you? Just for the views? Is that what it is?
If you're asking my honest opinion, I think you're a better sports entertainer than here. That doesn't mean he's a bad sports entertainer. I think he is one of the best going today. My point would be, let's also see how his career ends up. I mean, he's got years ahead of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me just give this to you plain and simple. The Road Dog is a better sports entertainer than MJF. And that is no disrespect to MJF. I met the individual, very respectful young man, very smart young man, smart in the way he eats, the way he trains. This surpasses me in everything. But I wanted to make the one line that everybody will read very clear. I'm a better sports entertainer than MJF.
Yeah. Nobody Having links said to that, the video of this. They link to your text.
Yeah. No, I get it. Road Dog says. Yeah, and then I'll trend.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for that.
That's what I mean.
But if they listen to the whole thing, man, as a human being, I think the dude is a good dude. Spent some time with him and this is funny story. It brings it back to Grado. Sat with him and Billy while we watched Grado work at the con we were at, you know, whatever the convention we were at over there. And had a blast. And so great guy, great at what we do. Would be tremendous in WWE. Never say never, but I hope I get the opportunity to work with him. But again, let me make it very simple for you guys. I'm a better sports entertainer than MJF. Like, there's even a cut at the end. There's an edit point.
No, that was good. One of my favorite moments of being in the convention business is at a StarCast with MJF.
Yeah.
And on purpose, we put loving wife Big Buddha Judy to run his table.
Yeah.
She knew 0.0 on MJF.
Yeah.
And the shock and awe that she just walked right into just a wood chipper of a human that he.
Yeah.
Cutting fans off.
Oh yeah, just being rude. Like, but that's
she panicked. She was texting me. I don't know how to handle this man. Come over here and help me. He is the rudest human on the planet.
He is.
Yeah,
but that's not him. You know what I mean? That's not who he is.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
No, you followed him on social media. You see his tweets.
Yeah,
he's changed.
He's a turd.
He's turned babyface now. He's like, I love you all.
Dog.
But I think people recognize, man, that there's something to that that some people respect. They're like, he's the best heel in the business. He's just committed to being a heel to you guys. You know what I mean? And being mean to you. And you love it.
Dog, you right
sadomasochistic
now.
Son of a... Sorry.
As we start the new year off, your home is probably worth more than it has ever been.
And that's why we tell
you to combine all your debts into one monthly payment or maybe do all those home upgrades you've always dreamed of. And on top of that, skip two house payments. You can put that newfound equity to work by going to
SaveWithConrad.com.
Let him help you out.
SaveWithConrad.com.
Help me with my mortgage. He can help you out.
He can, man, and that's what it is. That refi and that
new equity
debt,
you've got.
I like to call it debt consolidation.
Isn't it fun to look at your home and you go, well, "I paid this for it," but they're telling me it's already worth
yes,
more than that.
Yes,
that's
I
a
do
fun
love that.
Thing.
Probably
to do.
Next year they'll go, "You know what? Your house is worth nothing." Thanks.
Well, get that equity out of it now with SaveWithConrad.com.
Amen.
Get you out of debt. Put that in one monthly payment. Do those upgrades. Maybe you want to add a deck, add a pool, whatever.
Add a what?
Get that equity. A deck.
Outer deck around the pool, maybe.
Wooden deck.
Yes, huge.
Hey, take care of you over at
SaveWithConrad.com.
Like and subscribe.
What if we did SaveWithConrad.com? Yeah.
Oh, I like a jingle. I like a good jingle.
You just cut it right there and go... A hill airy ass deck.
and subscribe. Leave a 5-star rating on whatever platform, whatever deck it is. If it's an airy ass deck or whatever,
yeah.
Leave a 5-star rating. You can
From
be our 5-star review of the week.
Sorry.
You can follow us on Twitter. He's at Brian R.D. James. I'm at The Casio Kid. Follow the show at You Didn't Know Pod.
Yeah.
Like and subscribe and notifications on our YouTube channel. Where you can see YTX's YouTube exclusive at bagofjohnsons.com.
That's where you get that sweet A merch.
That is. Merch is a box of gimmicks.
See, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You go both ways. I go both ways.
Box of gimmicks. We've got all kind of new merch here for the 2024 with your dog.
Oh, my word. This is Winnie. I'm going to have to get y'all up to speed with the new Frenchie we got
now.
Winnie is a grown-up now, and she is fostering like a little baby brother, Zeus, who is the new Frenchie, the new addition of a Frenchie who has the colorings of a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
But he's a tiny little dog. He's so cute. I love him so much. Sorry.
Well, dog, before we get out of here, we got our last segment that we always love to do, and it's the first one of the year. So I think it'll put a little weight on that for you.
Mm-hmm.
It is our thankful minute. We put 60 seconds on the clock. Before we get out of here, we let you spread positivity. Tell us what you are thankful for in your life, Mr. Brian R.D. James.
Yep.
60 seconds on the clock, Dom. Hit it.
So I'm going to take a minute to be thankful for things in my professional life. And honestly, I don't talk about that too much because it's not the important part of my world. But I'm very thankful for the people that God has put in my life. And I'll be very honest when I say this. I'm talking about Hunter. I'm talking about Billy. I'm talking about Jeff Jarrett. I'm talking about Ronnie Killings. I'm talking about friends of mine that without this industry, I wouldn't have, and they're lifelong friends forever. And I'm sure I left a couple out, and I apologize. Wolfie D is one of them. There's all kind of people that means something to me and are special, and I stay in contact with and I talk to, and they mean a lot to me. So I've been blessed. And in this new year, I've been given more responsibilities, and it just lets me know that the people he's put in my life still believe in me and still think I have value. And if I can look at myself through their eyes, maybe I'll see what they see.
How about that?
Woo.
How about that? Oh.
Oh, God.
Get the dust.
Sorry, I was faking. I'm not sure if you were. No, yeah, that was the best faking I've ever heard in my life.
No, I was coughing. Sorry, and by the way, if you weren't watching that on YouTube, you have no idea why we just did that. That was a huge puff of smoke appeared on the screen. That's why you should watch on YouTube.
It didn't come from either one of our mouths either.
No, it did not. It did not. All right, dog, that was a good one to start the year off,
Blue
man.
Minnie's butt. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
That was a good one to start the year off with, brother.
I agree. I love the I love the context, the content, the philosophical conversation about sports entertainment / pro wrestling. It's just my opinion, man.
Look forward to getting more of your opinions and more of your philosophy this year. We got more guests on deck.
Amen.
We want to interact with you guys and gals more. You can.
Yep.
Over at our Ask Dogs, we're going to do more of those this year as well. So we got a lot in store. The podcast getting bigger than ever, and that's because of each and every one of you.
Yep, thank y'all.
Interact with us every single time.
Yep, and happy New Year to you guys. Whatever your resolutions were, who cares? You know what I mean?
It's probably over with already by now.
Yeah, I'm already not going to the gym I'm paying for.
Well, how about this?
I don't need the year to turn to change that.
If you already are done with your New Year's resolution, say it loud and proud to that resolution. Two words for your resolution.
Suck it.
Oh.